If I was to start telling you all the things I could do, well, really, I would probably be fed up with listening to me, wouldn't it? I'm picking up the two, though, and you'd be annoyed. But supposing I put two words after that sentence, and those two words are in theory. The things I can do in theory. My brother phoned me the other day, and he's just telling me that his granddaughter, who is my great niece, is taking driving lessons. I said, oh, that's good. She's only had six lessons, but already she's passed the theory. I said, well, that will make a practical piece of cake then. He passed the theory, the practice is no problem at all. He thought for a few minutes and said, you're joking. I said, yes, I am joking, but you didn't laugh. He said, no, I didn't know it was a joke. The practice is much harder than the theory. But I want to get a point over which is very important. The theory is just as important as the practice. Without the theory, we couldn't even attempt the practice. In fact, if you try the practice without knowing the theory, there's a good chance it'll end up in chaos. No, I'm not saying that practice is more important than theory. I'm just saying that theory is a lot easier. And it is, isn't it? Think of the things. Supposing you were to sign a piece of paper with, would you answer these questions if you want to be a Christian? Well, I can think of three questions to ask. You can probably think of a dozen more. The first question I would be asked is, do you read the Bible? Well, I'll put a tick to that one. Every day, well, I'll put a tick to that as well. In fact, I don't read the Bible so often as I used to. Because of my shaking and my blurred vision, I have to have people read it for me. And I'm thank goodness there's so many tapes now where you can actually hear the spoken word. And when you spoke to us today, we weren't hearing the written word, we were hearing the spoken word. And the job of a preacher is to turn the written word into the living word via the spoken word. And I now listen to the Bible being read most nights. So I do read my Bible or hear it read for me. Do you say your prayers? Well, I'm very good at that, actually. I can say my prayers with my eyes open. Not everyone can do that. They have to close their eyes. But I can do it also with my eyes open. And I love saying my prayers with my eyes open. I love being on a bus and seeing people on the bus. And some of them are struggling. Some of them have got their own problems. Some of them don't seem to even know where they are. And I look at them and I think about them. And they open my eyes and I pray for them. So that I can pray reasonably enough. I don't think I'll get a distinction, but I would get a pass. Final question, the difficult one. Do you go to church every Sunday? Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, wouldn't it? Yes, I do go to church every Sunday. And actually, I love going to church every Sunday. I don't worry who the preacher is, that's not what I'm there for. I'm not there for other reasons. I really genuinely love going to church. And some of my happiest moments in my years of preaching is to be in church. They've taken place in church. Some of them, to me, a church is more than just a building. It's a place where people come expecting and ready to meet with God. You can meet God everywhere, I know. You can see his blood upon the robes, but he's everywhere. So I love coming to church. And I got a lovely story to tell you about coming to church. About an old lady called Miss Peachy. She was quite a character, wasn't she, Johnny? In every way. Meet her out and she would always give you a small Bible. She used to go to people, have you got a Bible? And they used to say, no, I'll give you one. But when she came to church on a Sunday morning, she would always sit in the front with the children. Which was fine, he loved her to be in the front. The trouble was when the children went out, she didn't go out with them, she was still in the front. And everybody else was about 6 rows back. And that was fine, she would still sit there and you couldn't help but look at her as she was preaching. As soon as the sermon started, her head would drop. Her eyes would close and she would go to sleep, purring away. lovely sound. She was asleep in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, surrounded by all her friends. What a lovely place to go to sleep, isn't it, when the sun is shining through the window in the family church. But the strange thing was, she knew exactly when to wake up. Come the fifth and final hymn, she would stand up straight away and sing it with gusto. Now that was fine, you got used to that, until one day she said to me on the way out, "Bob, that was a lovely sermon." I said, "But Miss Peachy, you went to sleep." She said, "Yes, that's why I know it was a lovely sermon." But it can only happen in our Lord's house. I remind myself of the words of St. Paul when he said about himself, "I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge. I may understand all secrets. I may even have the faith that moves a mountain, but if I have no love, then I am nothing." So we know how easy it is to be a Christian, in theory. And the more you know the theory, the more you are aware how bad you are at the practice. Something's missing, something I can't get over. It doesn't matter how hard I try, I don't just make it. I feel I failed, I failed in some way. Oh, I've been given plenty of tips, Bob. We used to say, let God sort it all out. Let God do everything for you. Let God make a go of it. Let God take over. And that's nothing wrong with that message, but it's too long. Too long? How can let God be too long? Well, first of all, you remove the D. And it comes let go. Let go so you can let God take over your lives. And let it be known this, that God, Jesus, doesn't only want you as a follower. He's given us long enough to catch up with him. I follow Coronation Street, but I don't know anything about it. I'm not involved in it. I can follow as a Christian like that. No, I want to be a Christian in practice. Well, have you got anyone you admire more than so many people? Think of all the people you admire, what they've all got in common. They're totally unaware of the gift, aren't they? If I was to say to you, "Are you a saint?" How many of you put your hand up? If I say to you, "How many of you are thinking you're sitting next to a saint?" Would you put your hand up? But can I add another question? How many of you think you've met a saint in your lives? There's something so special about them, isn't there? To the world, they're a little bit naive, gullible, wet behind the ears, a little green. But simply their wits have never been sharpened with self-interest. And they're simply like a small child, innocent. They don't let the ways of the world ever get in the ways of the Christ they serve. They're totally unaware of it. Because they live in the shadow of the real meaning of light, they will never see the light in themselves, but others see it for them. So I do and have met saints. I have met people I can take my lessons from. And they're the gifts of people. I may never be one myself, but I can recognize it in others. A wonderful gift of being a Christian in practice. Now let's think of some of the problems if you're going to be a Christian in practice when you're good at the theory. Well, straight away, I can love my neighbor as I love myself. Sounds easy enough, doesn't it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But forget, that's the second commandment and not the first. The first is to love your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength and mind. And if you love your neighbour and you love yourself, you become a people pleaser and not a people person. No, you love your neighbour because you want them to be not like you, but like Jesus. So you love your neighbour as you love yourself. And what about that other one, treating people better than you treat yourself? I wouldn't give that much of a go. Can't see the point of that one. Actually treating people better than I treat myself. And I think of all these awful things that have happened in this country today, recently, with all these riots, and the setting fire of other people's properties and other people's homes. And if you love people more than you love yourself, how can you ever fight back that? I can't do it. Oh, I tried. Well, something a bit more easier. Have you been a good Samaritan? Well, I did pick that chap in the road up the other day. I didn't realise he was drunk, but he still picked him up and put him on a seat until someone else came along. So yes, I've been a good Samaritan. No, I mean, as you should be. Well, for a start, I haven't got a donkey. And I haven't got an inn to go to. I've got a little bit of money, but not much. If I set out to be a good Samaritan to the world, I would need far more than that, wouldn't I? I would need a fleet of ambulances. I would have every thing I could have at my disposal, and I haven't got it. And the trouble is, when you set off to be the good Samaritan, you end up thinking you're the victim. That's what life bashes about for you. No, I'll try to be the good Samaritan, but I couldn't do it. And one day I got the message, you can't do it. Oh, it seemed impossible to face, to hear that message, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it with the help of other people. You can only do it knowing that God is within you. And when you take communion, you are taking his bread upon your body. And when you drink the wine, you are drinking his blood. You are taking it with you. God, through the Holy Spirit, is not beside you, in front of you, or behind you. It's actually within you. This is why worship doesn't depend on the preacher. It's not out there typically asking permission from the preacher to come in here. It's already here. It's just needs an excuse to get out. And that's what worship does. Oh, I admit, if you come expecting an in-depth theological meaning to life, you'll go home a bit disappointed. But if you come to praise and worship your Heavenly Father, your Sovereign Lord, the risen Christ, if you come to let the love of Jesus set your souls ablaze, then you will leave this church this morning with God's Spirit refreshed and renewed within you, so each and every one of us can face the week ahead. If we are prepared to be a Christian in practice, we've got all the help we need. It's just us who are stopping it from happening. Amen.
Amen.